children are welcome to go down to Sunday school. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are our God, that you're wonderful, worthy of all our prayer, that you speak to us through your word, and that you call us to yourself. Pray that you would speak through me, and let my words be yours. Use your words in my heart and in our hearts that we could hear you. Call us to yourself. Form us for your glory. Pray also for the children that they would learn to know you. But that you would work in their hearts. That the gospel would be living for them. That they would love you and worship you with all their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Imagine someone who receives the gift of a Ferrari, super nice car, but he doesn't know what it's for. So he makes up his own uses. He needs to paint the house, so he pulls it out to stand on it so he can reach higher. It's not the best use. And he discovers that the seats are pretty comfortable to sit in. There's even cup holders, so you can sit in there and have his coffee. But that is not the purpose of a Ferrari. Go to Germany, drive on the Autobahn, put the gas pedal to the floor, and you've discovered the purpose of a Ferrari. And with life, life is such a greater gift than a Ferrari. But without knowing the purpose, you waste it. If we don't know its purpose, it's hard to do anything about it. You go by your gut feeling, what feels good now. That's what so many do, but it soon feels empty. Or you become stagnant, nothing matters. Others struggle with meaninglessness and depression. But others make up their own goals. Some politics or your own dream. Like navigating with a compass you've made yourself. But what is the meaning of life? Classic example of a great unsolvable question. In our time, it seems. But for Christians, it has been pretty obvious. What is the meaning of life? The Westminster Catechism sums it up in the first question. A catechism is questions and answers for people to learn the basics of the faith. It begins. The foundation of faith. What does it say? What is the chief end of man? Answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. No confusion there. We were created to worship God. That is the meaning of life. If you are here and you haven't surrendered to Jesus, there is an invitation to do so. Discover what you were created for. But for those who have, there are so many competing purposes, the things that desire our attention, that distract us from the living God. Surrender again. It's about understanding, taking a hold of, and loving what God is doing. We are in a series on the red thread through the Bible. We've seen creation, the fall, and salvation. The Spirit is poured out. The church is established. And one text, more than any other, shows us the purpose of all of this. Why all of this? Why is there anything at all instead of nothing? Ephesians 1 tells us God's plan. God's plan for everything from before the foundation of the world to the end of time. God's plan for heavens and the earth. That God be glorified through Jesus Christ. So we're going to read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. There's much to say about this text. The purpose of everything, the plan of salvation from before creation to the end of time, to His glory and praise. If that is the purpose of everything, then that tells us why we were created, why you were created. We were created for worship. You were created for worship. If we back to the history of creation, we see this. At Adam's creation, he is described as a priest. In the Garden of Eden is the presence of God, just as in the temple. The way in is from the east, like the temple. The way in is guarded by the cherubim, just as the cherubim are depicted on the veil of the most holy place. And then we have a man in a temple, and we have his task. Genesis 2:15 says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." The words translated cultivate and preserve, or tend and care, in some Bibles. These two together also describe the work of the priests in the temple, in the tabernacle, and then finally the temple. The picture of life in Genesis is that it's a priestly service to God. All of life is a service to God. a life in which we fill the earth as God commanded and use its resources according to God's will. But what is worship? Two aspects. One, those special moments where we praise and thank God. The other, as we see in Adam, is the whole life lived for God and for His glory. They're both needed. Like in a marriage. All of life should in some way express love for that person. It's not just about when you say sometimes, I love you, but your whole life must reflect that. There are also times when you can directly express your love. Both are needed. And as for us, these special times that we get to worship God in a direct way, we should take our worship seriously. We're created for this. Avoid distractions as much as possible. Be on time. Participate when we praise the Lord together. And join when we sing. Let's give our bodies and souls when we're praising the Lord. That's what we're created for. In our whole life, worship includes our life, work, and relationships. Agriculture and construction, as expected of Adam. Even engineering and everything that is included in using the earth's resources. Do it to the glory of God. Work hard. And think about who you are serving. And not only paid work, fixing the home is included. And we think about the task of man's filling the earth. That is included in marriage and life together. Raising children and teaching. Various forms of care, even cleaning and cooking are included in we humans together, filling the earth and living for the glory of God. So do these weekly things to the glory of God. Think that we're serving the Lord as we do these things. To know God, to worship and live for Him. That's what we're created for. And if we miss this, we miss the purpose of life. Like the man who does not know what to do with his Ferrari. Living only for what you feel becomes empty. Like being yourself or achieving your dreams becomes empty if there's no greater purpose. Politics, human ideologies, and the like lead to anger and disappointment. If we don't have the Lord to serve, don't simply sit and have a coffee in your Ferrari. Get to know the God who created you. Let life find its meaning in Him, in the one who gave it. And Christians, look. Are your words, your actions, your thoughts, and your dreams about God's glory or yours? Sin is so subtle that we can take good gifts and make them slaves to our own purposes. A marriage, for example, ultimately to reflect God's self-giving love. But it is possible to seek it or live in it as if it existed ultimately to please you. Family can be turned from a gift with responsibility into a tool for your self-esteem or your excitement. The same with education and profession. The things that are made to serve people and the community can be used to serve yourself. Does God want to deprive us of the joy in these? No, certainly not. But if they are subordinate to selfish purposes, if they exist only to serve you, He will destroy them or be destroyed by them. I think of the weight of expectations that crush relationships, or the pursuit of fame that fills life with anxiety. But when they are directed towards God and in His service, they find their place. We can rejoice in a little good that points us to the highest good, which is God. We were created for worship. So direct every part of your life to God. Serve your family to the glory of God. Do your work to the glory of God. And rejoice in Him, every moment a gift. Every gift a tool for His glory and for our good. With all of these responsibilities, there's the other ditch, caring too little about your family, your profession, your household chores. Being lazy about the responsibilities God has given you. Lately, I have become more convinced that wasting time is sinful. 10 minutes on social media. How does it honor God? Or a game? A TV series? Not that it has to be wrong, but uncontrolled scrolling. Or playing or reading about trivial things just to fill the time. Rest is good. We were created for that too. Think about the Sabbath. But that is rest in order to serve. Our rest with gratitude towards God. Netflix and Instagram are rarely the best for that. But consider how we use our time, our rest. Now that summer is coming, and many of us are taking time to rest, let us do it for God's glory. Enjoy nature and thank the Creator. Be intentional about spending time with family and friends. Use entertainment intentionally. Read or listen to what is uplifting. Do projects that benefit. Because worshiping God is our highest good. Use your rest to worship. And if all of life is worship, then everything can also be directed to God. Thankfulness, our interests and joys and gratitude. If you eat or drink, rejoice and thank the Lord. Enjoy and thank the Lord. And even our sorrow, we can complain and mourn before God because He is good and because sin, death, the devil, destroy. Don't mourn alone. Take it to God. Like in the Psalms, they cry before the Lord. That too becomes worship. And we see it in Jesus. God became man, showed us a life of worship. In Him we see fasting and feasting, success and sorrow, work and rest, all for His Heavenly Father. Jesus shows us a life of worship. And Jesus came to restore worship. Because even though we were created for worship, and even though worship is where we find our purpose, meaning, and eternal joy, yet we have fallen from that. And restoring that is what the Bible is all about. He calls us back to Himself and makes our worship right. And Paul writes in Romans 1 of people in general, although they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, nor were thankful, but their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made like to mortal man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That is the common condition now. We are exchanging true worship for worship of creation. And in Paul's time, like in the past, it was made-up gods. Today it can be through other religions. In secular society, it is the exaltation of man, or self-determination. Creation is put in God's place. But to worship anything other than God is to turn away from the source of life and to arouse His anger. His rightful anger. He is our purpose. He is the meaning of life. And apart from Him, there is no life. We need salvation. It leads us to point number two. Saved for worship. We are created for worship, and we are saved for worship. We see this pattern in the Old Testament, where God saves the people from slavery in Egypt, and when they come out, they get to worship Him in the tabernacle and then the temple. They get His law to live for Him. So have special and general worship. But we also see how deep the sin goes. As early as Exodus, they build a golden calf to worship instead of the Lord. And the rest of the Old Testament depicts repeated decay. One of the kings thought it was a good idea to build a golden calf again. And King Solomon, who built the Lord's temple, he also built temples for other gods. We see that we, fallen, sinful people, always turn away from the living God. We worship everything but Him. No matter how clear God was, no matter how many miracles they saw, it didn't change their hearts to love God. They needed a Savior who could cleanse their hearts and bring them to God. And Jesus, we have that. Completely clean heart that loves the Lord. Remember when He drove out the people that were selling in the temple? He was eager for His Father's house. And even more, when He gave His life as the final and complete sacrifice that can bring us back to Him. That ripped the dividing material in the temple, in the tabernacle. In the core of the Bible, as we see so clearly in Ephesians 1, there we have the gospel. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the purpose of His good will, to the glory and praise of His grace, which He has given us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now we can come to God, sinners as we are. Jesus has done everything to bring us back to God. Have you sinned greatly? Jesus' death redeems you, forgives you. Do you feel far away from God? He makes us His children. And we have the purpose of it here. To the glory and praise of His grace, which He has given us. We honor and praise Him. We are saved for worship. And invited back to what we were created for. But all the sweeter now is saved. Serving God is the meaning of life in a double sense. We were created for it, and we were saved for it. It becomes richer and sweeter as we experience His love. He has saved us for worship now. So enjoy singing His praises. That's why we exist. The goal of both creation and salvation. We get to experience and celebrate that through song and prayer. We experience that especially in worship when we gather to praise Him. So we get to make time to be here. Don't miss this possibility to gather in a congregation and worship. So when we gather at church and worship, but also at home, daily, thank the Lord for the life He has given you, for salvation, to His glory and praise. So we worship in praise and in prayer. And we are saved for worship in our lives. Hebrews 12, 28-29 seriously urges us to service or worship. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, so that we may serve and please God with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. So we take our service seriously. But listen to how practical the continuation is. How do we serve God? Hebrews 13. Keep brotherly love alive. Do not forget to show hospitality. For through hospitality, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if it were your own bodies. Marriage is honorable among all, and the marriage bed is undefiled, for God will judge sexually immoral people and adulterers. Do not live for money, but be content with what you have. For God Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember those who have the lead among you, who spoke the word of God to you. consider the outcome of their conduct. And imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by every kind of strange doctrines. In verses 15 to 16, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of lips which give thanks to His name. And do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Practical worship. Worship in our love for each other. The weekly, common things. He has saved us for worship now. It is something to take seriously. To put our whole lives in His service. Every word and deed. Worship in the present. And He has saved us for worship in eternity. John sees in his vision. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Eternity. All of their goals have an end. But worshiping God endures forever. We will live forever with and rejoice in our Savior. That is why we were created. That is why we exist. That is why we're saved. To praise our God. Our gracious, almighty, wonderful God. And even now, we can align our lives with that goal. Through prayer and praise and worship. By putting every part of our lives in His service. What would honor Him? And that brings us to our final point. If man's ultimate goal is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, if we were created for that, and Jesus came to save people to that, then we must lead more people into that. People must discover this. We are created for worship, saved for worship, and point three, on a mission for worship. We are on a mission for worship. That is how people find their purpose. Imagine being able to tell someone how to use a Ferrari, seeing them turn the keys, hearing the engine start. That is how God is glorified. When people are brought back to their Creator, find Him as their Savior and praise Him for it. What is more important than that? What can be more important? Friends, if we know this, if we have come to God, if we've experienced His glory and His work and His purpose, we must spread it. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is a wonderful task. He who is the goal of life, the reason for our existence, commands us to make disciples. And what could be more logical, more reasonable in response to those who have come to Him? That is actually why Jesus has not come back yet. Because he still has people he has planned to save. If we are to direct our lives towards his worship, then we direct our lives towards mission. That there will be more people to worship. More people to participate in worship. So how do we do missions? Partly by helping each other grow. And by raising our children in the faith. Jesus says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Very important tasks. Pray for the people that teach Sunday school. Pray for your parents. Decide with someone that you will read a book this summer. That you will discuss it to grow in some area. Take time with a young Christian to teach them the basics. And pray for each other often. We help each other grow. But missions must also call more people to Jesus. Some have a special gift for this. So continue. You that speak of Jesus with all that you meet, continue. And we should all be ready and willing and happy to talk about the hope that we have, about the God that we love, that our whole life is about. And of course, we want to talk about that. But for some, it means being sent. Sent to the least reached. Even sent here in Sweden, where many are unreached. You may be sitting here as one God is going to send. But we are all part of mission through prayer for missionaries. Please pray for me and Kat and our plans in preparing for planting churches. And financial support is an obvious way to contribute to mission. Both here and further away. With everything we have. We want to give ourselves to the people discovering and growing in Christ. Give of your creativity. Think about how can you reach out where you are? How can we as a congregation reach out? A great initiative to think about this at the fika table. Dream of the glory of God through saved people. One opportunity that I see is through social media. There are many young people there who are exploring new ideas. Imagine if they were to discover Jesus while scrolling. But it requires us to take the step to do the work to reach them. It means that we have to start the conversation with the one that you're sitting with. Look up from your phone and see the people around you and mention Jesus. And that we constantly carry these people in prayer before God. If we care about missions, we will pray for missions. We will do this through the song, Let Your Kingdom Come. That Jesus would be king over more and more people, that they would experience him. And continue to pray after the service when you get home. Pray for missionaries. Pray for the unreached. Pray for other countries and pray for Sweden. And for your home country. And also pray for yourself and those that are in your life. Pray that the Lord would speak through you. And remember, when we pray this, when we work for this, we do it with hope. We know that it will succeed. John has seen the result. a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and tribe and people and language, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, dressed in white robes and palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God and who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." Let us worship Him. Lord, we praise You that You are so good, so worthy of all our praise and worship. Lord, we pray that You would prepare and lift up all of the situations in our life, that all we think and say, form us by Your Spirit, that we would honor You, that we'd point to You. Lord, we pray that You would send us out to missions, open our mouths, to be able to tell about Jesus and Your wonderful work through Him. We pray that You would save many. Pray that You would raise up missionaries, raise up people from here that would take the gospel to new places where they have not heard of Him. Help us all see how we can contribute and encourage and support missions, so that all will hear of Jesus and be called to worship Him. He who we were created for and saved to worship. I pray this in Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen.